Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Wow, we got so many great topics on this episode of KKHI. I can't even promise you that I'm going to get to all of them, but we're going to give it our level best on a drippy, wet, rainy kind of Tuesday, the week of the Sweet 16. We got a lot of things going on in news and a lot of things in sports. We're just 9 days away from the Royals season opener at Kauffman Stadium. We'll talk a little Royals baseball a little bit later in the podcast. We have good news on the GOP front and the Kansas Senate. They're cutting back on their budget. That's a good thing. Maybe our federal government will take a look at that. And what I think is just an awesome lawsuit by former Missouri coach Mike Anderson, who has been terminated at St. John's. You got to hear the details of listening. It's going to be a very, very interesting episode today. We start with more news on the new airport at KCI. And there's just so many things. This thing's only been open 3 weeks, but it seems like every day there's a new story. The headline for me here is it looks like they've put the wrong flooring in the airport. We've heard complaints about the bathrooms, that there are rows of single stall toilets that apparently are very nice and have closing doors and lights above them when they're vacant and when they're not. But some people think they look like rows of lined up porta potties at a concert or something like that. There are shared areas where you're maybe washing your hands next to a little girl. I've been there. I'm trying real hard to reserve judgment. We did a patron post newsletter on Monday and talked about a couple of these things, and a patron podcast. It was a big Monday. We had three separate pieces of content on Monday. If you're looking for more KKHI, don't forget you can sign up as a patron. It's just $5 a month. And all you got to do is go to kkhasissues.com and click on Become a Patron. And on Monday, you got the regular podcast, a patron podcast, and a newsletter. But we spent a little bit of time on the airport, but this is before it had kind of gotten out that now, forget the parking, forget the lining up, forget the bathroom conundrum or discomfort for many people, I guess is one way to say it. The floors are scuffing. We've got a three-week-old airport. They cannot keep the floors clean. They put in some sort of flooring. It's typical looking flooring like you'd see that has, you know, we do the amazing garage floors. My garage floor is gray speckles, white, black, and two shades of gray, actually. So it's four different little speckle chips in this epoxy flooring. And so when it gets even just a little bit dirty, you can't really see it. It's a pretty nifty thing that we do with flooring. And KCI looks like they've got a little bit of a flooring like that. But it certainly isn't epoxy. I don't know what the heck they've put in. They said they're working with the contractor now to try to resolve this. They have to hire more people to keep scrubbing the floors because the suitcases on rollers, I don't know, maybe this flooring was from the 1950s when nobody had a bag on rollers. The rollers are scuffing it and people's dress shoes are scuffing the living daylights out of the floor. The KCI airport director says they're going to be hiring more people. This is a lot more labor intensive than we thought. And we're working with the contractor on resolving the issue. Let me be the first one to ask this. Are we getting ready to redo the brand new floors at KCI? Some people have complained they're tripping on these floors, that they're stubbing their toe or something, that there's no slide, that it maybe is a little sticky or tacky. That would make sense. If what's rubbing off of shoes and suitcases is sticking to the floor, it must be a sticky floor, right? Or at least, I don't know, maybe not porous isn't the right word. It must be a little tacky in some way. I don't know. I've seen pictures. I've not been there. I'm doing everything I can, folks, to reserve all of my judgment on the new KCI until I fly myself. And when we fly, and I think that's maybe going to be here in about 3 weeks, when we fly, I'm going to go very early. I'm going to go early, and I'm going to check the whole thing out, and then I'll be able to give you a complete review of what I've seen. I don't think it's fair to, because we know a lot of people are just complainers, especially when it comes to parking and things like that. So I get that. Though the parking garage should not be full. A brand new airport parking garage 3 weeks in should not be full. It just shouldn't be. The airport director said, quote, "We want to make sure it looks new as long as possible," unquote, when talking about his three-week-old airport. Now, we've been in our new house for 16 months now. 16 months. And there's a couple places at the door by our garage where we walk in where we've kind of scuffed the door jamb a little bit. There's a couple of scuffs on our entry door to our house. And I've looked at those and I've thought, well, this is a new house. I don't like the looks of these scuffs, and I'm not real good at the handyman, touch it up, paint it up kind of thing. So we're going to address those things. But we're 16 months in. We've got a dog. We've been living here every day for 16 months. We haven't really traveled much. Like, we're here a lot. We live in our home. We're not the kind of people that, you know, hey, take your shoes off and check them at the door. No, we live here. We live here. We understand that it needs to be clean and needs to be maintained. We're also going to live a lifestyle where if people come over, keep your shoes on. We're not worrying about stuff. Bring your kids. Other friends sometimes bring their dogs in here. We're good with all that. KCI, 3 weeks old. We got to redo these floors. Is this really happening? They put a flooring down that easily scuffs. I don't know. Somebody made a comment of, we have 50 years experience of dealing with floors. You know, the floors were always a problem in the old airport. They were originally wooden, hardwood flooring. That didn't work out particularly well. They went round and round and round on what to do with the flooring at the old KCI. And they're making jokes now. Well, we got 50 years of experience of botching floors at our airport. Why not open a brand new one with floors that scuff and trip? But it sounds like that is the case. I don't know. We'll see how it happens. The Kansas City Star editorial board is trying to write a piece now. Do we need to name the airport after someone? That sounds like a horrible idea. If we want to name the airport after something or somebody, let's sell it. Let's sell it to a company that wants to put their name on it. Let's sell it and, I don't know, give the money to charity? Potholes? New floor? Something? Somebody want to put their name on it? Black and Veatch International? I don't know. Can't be Cerner. They're laying people off. Kind of changing the name and structure and dynamic of their company. How about Garmin? Garmin would be good. What do you got, Garmin? Couple million a year to put your name on the airport? Seems to me like that'd be worth it. Sports teams do it. Why wouldn't the airport do it? Talking about naming this. Oh, you got to see this list of people. It's so bad. It's just the worst list you've ever seen. Name the airport. There really is only one person that of any historical significance that the airport naming should be considered by, but I fear that the people that are writing these pieces and thinking about this are too young to even understand the historical significance of one person from our city, not technically from Kansas City, but Independence, Missouri, and that is Harry Truman. He is a president that, of course, today would be a Republican, but then was a Democrat and saved the world. Made the decision to drop the bomb. Now, he's not even on the list, because I'm guessing all the libs at the Kansas City Star wouldn't even want to recognize someone who dropped an atom bomb, although they're pushing for World War III with Russia. So I could have this wrong. Maybe they just don't know who Harry Truman is. Maybe they don't teach World War II history anymore. I don't know. But Harry Truman would really, you know, the Truman Sports Complex has existed. That clearly is going away. Doesn't look like there will be a Truman Sports Complex. Kansas City's Harry S. Truman Airport? I mean, that works for me. How about this? How about Kansas City Champions Airport? Chiefs got a couple. Royals won in 15. Sporting Kansas City has one. The Jayhawks won one. How about we name it Champions Airport? Most airports are named after somebody, if they are, or they're just the city. City's fine. Kansas City International is just fine. The one really cool name for an airport that is not named after someone and is not named after the city is in Phoenix, Arizona, and it has a great name. It's called Sky Harbor. And that's fantastic. If you could come up with something like that, go for it. But what are they going to want to do? What are we going to look for here? We're going to virtue signal. What the Star is saying is, number one, we want a person who represents the underserved community to have the airport named after him. That's number one. I'm sure they'd go with Buck O'Neill. They might consider Emmanuel Cleaver. They'd probably even go with Martin Luther King. Let's be honest. That's where this is going. That's what they want. When they say they want to name the airport after someone, what they're saying is they want to name it after somebody from a community that they consider to be underserved at this point. So those would be the three leading favorites. In no particular order, although I would think Martin Luther King would be third, doesn't necessarily mean that. You don't have to, listen, folks, you don't have to have any real history. And there is some history here with Martin Luther King. You don't, there has to be no history or significance to naming something after Martin Luther King. Every city in America has Martin Luther King streets and boulevards and whatever, and that's fine. That's all good. But I would think he would be third on the list. Maybe Emmanuel Cleaver, right? Possible. Buck O'Neill. That's what they're shooting for. When they bring that stuff up, that's what they're shooting for. I think we should come up with a name for the floors. Let's name the floors first, and then let's worry about the airport. If we can't name it Champions Airport, because we win a lot in this town. That's what we do. We win. And now apparently we're like this hub of pop culture. You know, we've got Paul Rudd and Jason Sudeikis. We had Eric Stone Street was on the highest rated sitcom forever. We got all these people from around here that are in Hollywood, most of them comedians. Janelle Monáe is a singer and an actress killing it. I mean, it's unbelievable the number of celebrities from Kansas City. We got all kinds of cool stuff going on here, but you can't name an airport after them. We got to fix the scuffs first. Let's worry about naming it later. Let's fix the scuffs first. Speaking of fixing the scuffs, Donald Trump is not going to be indicted apparently today, which is Tuesday, or even maybe this week. It could be another week away, if at all. And the question now that I have is, what's going on here? Because the grand jury doesn't even convene on this Tuesday. And now they say they have another interview lined up for Wednesday, which means this can't happen right now. There was some great testimony in front of the grand jury yesterday, completely discrediting Michael Cohen. The grand jury's sitting there going, I assume they picked him and it's all rigged here, that these are all Trump haters sitting there regardless. But I'll ask the question because there seems to be growing pressure every hour of every day now that Alvin Bragg is doing something he shouldn't be doing. And he's got a political calculation to make because he's going to want to run for office. Will it, like if you went out and you arrested Trump or indicted Trump and wanted to run for office, then what if that led to Trump being president? What if Elon Musk and Chris Rock and some of these other people are right? And a lot of people are writing, hey, this is, you might as well just hand Trump the presidency if you're going to indict him over this. Just hand it to him. Because Americans will fight, there'll be a reaction. For the action, there will be a reaction from the American public that you won't believe. I can see that argument. I still think there's just way too much time before the election and too many unknowns. And I think the absolute Trump card for Joe Biden is entering the war. I think we're going to do it. I think we're either going to fly, send jets or ships or something. I think our military in some way will be involved in the Ukraine-Russia war before the election, because I think when that happens, American citizens kind of galvanize behind their armed forces and it will make Joe Biden look like a wartime president. Generally speaking, wartime presidents do very well in elections. So I think that's coming. I think they're going to realize we got a problem on our hands here. And they don't care about people dying. China and Russia are speaking. Xi was in Moscow. He's in Moscow this week. They're talking about a ceasefire. And immediately John Kirby comes out from the White House and says, Ukraine should not accept a ceasefire and we won't accept one either. Wait, what? The United States won't accept a ceasefire? What? He just said it all out loud. We're controlling Ukraine right now. Here's what we're doing. There's no volunteer army anymore in Ukraine. They're gone. Those kids are dead. The people that signed up in the beginning that said, I want to go fight, that's over. They're basically grabbing young men, grabbing them, telling them, you're fighting. There are unbelievable penalties for desertion and insubordination and all these things. They got a terrible problem with the Ukrainian army right now because they don't want to fight this war. They're losing. They're dying. Over 100,000 dead. So now this is on, I'm sorry, it's on Joe Biden's hands because he could stop it. He's the one pushing it. Let's be honest. The Democrats are pushing this. They don't care. They say they care about Ukraine. They don't care that over 100,000 Ukrainians have died. We're just sacrificing them for what? Why are we sacrificing these Ukrainians? This thing could be negotiated today where the Russian troops are. Allow them what they have, sign up a treaty of some sort, a ceasefire, a treaty. Let's halt. Let's step back. Let's end this thing. Let cooler heads prevail. And we'll figure it out over the years if we need to, or if it ever needs to be changed, or if Putin dies in 5 years, we'll revisit. Ukraine keeps Kiev, gets to keep control of what it has. Zelensky stays in power, gets to jail his political opponents. But no more sending young men off to just die. They're slaughter. They're slaughter at this point. Putin's evil. He doesn't care. He's sending his people there and they're dying too. But it's not like the Ukrainians. Ukrainians do not want to fight this war. These young men do not want to die. They do not want to go die for this. They don't. And so we're on the verge of a ceasefire being offered here. And the White House, before the ceasefire is even offered, goes out on the offensive and says, nope, we're out on that. We're going to keep shelling the crap out of the Russian troops here. Wait, what? How do you have a say? You're giving money and munitions to Ukraine. By the way, we don't know where the money's going. There's no way this was all spent on arming the Ukraines. So there's grifting going on here. Your money's being stolen by Ukrainian oligarchs. You can be sure of that. And Zelensky's getting rich. You can bet on that. This is corrupt. It stinks to the high heavens. If a ceasefire is offered, for God's sake, take it. John Kirby says, well, we can't take a ceasefire. That's so the Russian troops can regroup. You know, we've got to regroup. They're already in Ukraine. They've made tremendous inroads into Ukraine. Yeah, I guess they could resupply and rest and whatever, but you're not driving them back. They're not going backwards. Stop killing. This really truly is life and death. War's bad. And escalation's worse. And now China clearly is throwing its support behind Russia. That what they've done, they have, as a sovereign nation, the right to do what they've done. China's saying that. We don't want this fight. We damn sure don't want it with Joe Biden in the White House. And none of this would have happened if Trump was president. None of it. Elections matter in the worst possible way. And we've got chaos here. And now they want to indict Trump because they don't want him to become president. They want to keep their war. They want this war to go on for 20 years. They do. They want regime change in Russia. And they want it before Putin dies. They want him out. I don't get it. I just don't understand why we meddle in so many places. So there's been some silence out there on the Republicans. Ron DeSantis came out and made a comment about Trump. And he said, look, this is a Soros-funded DA. It's a political charade, all that stuff. But DeSantis made what some are now calling the first mistake of his candidacy, a political miscalculation. In supporting Trump by saying this DA shouldn't be doing this, he made a crack and said, quote, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star, unquote. So he attacked Trump while supporting Trump, and people are now saying this is a terrible tactical move because people like me who will accept Trump or DeSantis as my nominee. I won't accept any of the others. I will accept either one. Now, if I'm sitting here 50-50, I'm good. Let's just let it play out. I just moved toward Trump. But I didn't like it when Trump came out and was saying sanctimonious and all this other stuff. So I'm not sure DeSantis in this moment, this is how he wanted to attack Trump. But he did. And he's the only one. He's the only Republican that really has had anything bad to say about Trump in light of the story coming out that he may be indicted. We've heard silence from Mitch McConnell, Nikki Haley, Mitt Romney. Lindsey Graham's been a little wishy-washy. Somehow he's close to President Trump, but they couldn't be farther apart on so many issues, including the war in Ukraine. But everybody sees this now as a real problem for Alvin Bragg. And DeSantis, in addition to his unfortunate jab at Trump that a lot of people took poorly, including me, he's got a problem on his hands in Miami. Ron DeSantis is having a bad week. All right, he came out and tried to support Trump, but didn't do it the way he was supposed to. And now he's got murder, chaos, and violence in Miami on spring break. And these are not typical spring breakers. You know, there was some beer swilling and stuff going on in Fort Lauderdale. And then people, if you don't know the geography here, Miami's what, 40 minutes away, 45 minutes away from Fort Lauderdale, 30 minutes away, whatever it is, down the freeway. Well, Miami's got South Beach, and it's really kind of too expensive for most what we think of as spring breakers. They don't go to places like South Beach. It's very expensive. Well, now people who just live in South Florida are going to South Beach and they're just destroying everything. They're jumping on cars, they're burning stuff, they're breaking things. There's a video of just a cold-blooded walk down the street in a group of people murder that took place. It's awful. Ron DeSantis got his hands full right now. He needs to stop what's happening in Miami and stop worrying about his presidential campaign. He's pushing all these other things, and I like the things that he's doing. But right now, this looks like a harder thing to stop than dealing with a hurricane. Because when people get out of control, sometimes you don't have enough people to stop it. We'll see what happens over the coming days here with DeSantis. And now I ask the question, I'll just ask you. This is just planting the seed. Did Trump set Alvin Bragg up on all this? I mean, right now, today, it feels like it. He made a big deal. They're gonna arrest me Tuesday. Tuesday's the day. Well, Tuesday, there's no grand jury. Wednesday, there's another witness coming in. It looks like it would have to be next week at the earliest. Did Trump set Alvin Bragg up by doing this and putting all the attention and pressure on him? And people now asking, well, exactly why is he doing this to Trump? What is this case about? Is this about the impeachment? Is this about Ukraine? Is this about campaign finance? What is this about? What was Trump's crime? And then people hear Stormy Daniels and they laugh. People laugh when they hear that. Wait, that story's from 2015 or something. What are we talking about? Stormy Daniels. Trump's pretty savvy now. Pretty savvy man right there. All right, I got a great email here. I want to share some emails with you on the podcast today. This one is from Alex. And we did a podcast recently about the 16th Amendment, which is basically your income tax. And a lot of you really enjoyed it. Thank you for the nice comments. Alex writes in, hey, Kevin, did you know the origination of the deep state is traced back to 1913? Really loved your podcast regarding the repeal of the 16th Amendment. But ask yourself this, how in the world was Congress able to pass such an amendment and it never be repealed? The answer, the fix was in 1913. The United States Senate was bought and paid for by the deep state. Prior to 1913, a United States senator was elected by the state's legislature. It was the state determined what role its senators would play in D.C. And the state had the power at any moment to yank that senator out of D.C. and bring him home and replace him with someone else. Right after the 16th Amendment was passed, the 17th Amendment was passed, which provided that the United States senator would now be elected by popular votes. This is the exact moment in time the power shifted in the United States from states to the federal government. Big money from dark sources now determine who is most likely to be elected in the United States Senate. Research this a little bit more. You're going to find that this is all spot on. Love your show. Thank you, Alex. Terrific email. We appreciate that. Really nice. Gosh, we got just tremendous, tremendous listeners. Very cool stuff. And we also got a terrific email from a gentleman who said he had been out to B-Stock and B-Stock.net, and he got himself a computer. This is from Jason. He says, I bought an Apple MacBook from B-Stock. I went in and wanted the cheapest one they had. It's a side hustle thing. I only need it for using email. Cheapest MacBook I could find. So he got a used one. Long story short, they found me the cheap one, but at the very beginning, the hard drive wasn't what we thought it would be. So they worked on it for a week and tried to make it exactly, you know, how we wanted it to be, and they couldn't. So they upgraded me to a newer, more expensive laptop and did not charge me for the upgrade. I guess because of the perceived inconvenience, I really didn't mind the whole situation. They were great the whole way. I knew I was buying an old refurbished laptop anyway. Nevertheless, they handled the whole situation professionally, went above and beyond to make it right. I am referring all my friends to bstock.net and Olathe. Also, Kevin, I had Tim Cross come over to finalize a basement stairwell project. We're on the schedule for Cross Kitchens KC this June. Hey, thanks, Jason, for supporting the sponsors. That's awesome. I know you're going to enjoy whatever it is exactly your basement and stairwell project is with Cross Kitchens. They're great at what they do. And I am completely unsurprised that you had a great customer service experience at B-Stock because they are the best. B-Stock also does a red tag deal of the week every week at the KK List, which is my site where we list all the sponsors for you and more that you don't hear about on the podcast if you want to do business with local conservative companies. TheKKList.com. Think of it as conservatives only. It's our little club, the KKList.com. You'll see Beestock's Red Tag Deal of the Week right there. It's an auction item. This week, it's a 2020 Retina Display Apple MacBook Pro, one-year warranty. 10-day auction is up right now at the KK List. Click on Red Tag Deal of the Week Auction. And some of these things are going for under 100 bucks in the auctions. Because they're auctions. Sometimes auction things can go really, really cheap. You want to check that out, go there. It's bstock.net. They're good folks. And I always appreciate your emails, especially when you're educating me about the 17th Amendment. It does sound like a pretty good idea. You know, 24 states now have a supermajority of Republicans, which means everything they do is veto-proof. Kansas is there. Missouri's there, right? And we just got Louisiana last week. Seven new states in November became supermajorities of Republicans. We won everywhere last November. We won everywhere. Just not as big on the national scale as people had hoped. And some high-profile Senate races did not go our way. But the states are redder than ever. We've made tremendous strides. We wrote about that on the newsletter as well. And I like to bring along good news. Whenever we got some good news, we want to do that. Oh, there's good news in Kansas. The Senate in Kansas just announced that they're going to reduce their budget by 3.25%. And there's a ban at university on diversity, equity, and inclusion. That it can't be a litmus test for hiring employees at the public universities in the state. But you cannot do that. You will hire the most qualified person, regardless of race, age, or gender, sexual orientation, religion. None of those things can be a basis for hiring or not hiring. If they can't be a basis for not hiring, they cannot be a basis for hiring. You hire the best candidate, regardless of anything. That's good news in Kansas. I love that. That's really good news. Way to go. And they're veto-proof. They just start shoving things through. It's done. Laura Kelly is a deadbeat governor. Anything they pass, she can't stop. So here's what's really cool about that. In most ways, it doesn't really matter that she won. It's veto-proof. She can't stop anything the Republicans are doing in Kansas. I just love stories like that. But you know me. I like winning. I'd certainly like it if Kansas State did some winning this week. That'd be fun. We'll do more on Wednesday and Thursday's podcast about the Wildcats taking on Michigan State. But if you're looking for tickets, go to New York for that. Or if you just want to go to T-Mobile Center Friday and Sunday, we got great teams here. Terrific games. Houston, the one seed is here. Texas is playing. Kansas State fans, your team's not playing. Nigel Pack is back. He's playing here. Former K-State player with Miami. Ticketsforless.com has you hooked up for the NCAA tournament Friday evening and Sunday afternoon. This is it, man. These are big-time games. Somebody's going to cut down the nets and go to the Final Four Sunday at T-Mobile Center. If you'd like to go, log on to ticketsforless.com and use that promo code KKHI. Very important, use the promo code. You'll always get typically 5 to 15% off your order. So dial that up at ticketsforless.com/KKHI. Finch Knife Company, now featuring the Hatfield collection of pocket knives. I love Finch pocket knives. They've got a great slogan, keep life from getting dull. They have a good sense of humor. When you order a pocket knife from Finch Knife Company and they ship it to you, it comes in a beautiful box and you open it up. And one of the things that I really love about what they do, there's a Band-Aid in every single one. Now that's funny. I mean, that's pretty funny. I like that. There is a band. Your new Hatfield Finch pocket knife will come with a Band-Aid. That's fantastic. The McCoy collection will be coming out later this year. They debut new collections every couple 3 months. Check out the website for all their great designs. The all-time favorite is the Cherry Bomb. Online at finchknifeco.com. 154-centimeter U.S. steel blades. Social media won't help them out. They have a hard time getting advertising. Word of mouth and KKHI helps a lot. If you know somebody that loves pocket knives or collects them, turn them on to Finch Knife Company and tell them about it. Online at finchknifeco.com, or they can visit Shields in Overland Park or the Bullet Hole. Great dudes, great knives. Fry Orthodontics is online at fryorthodontics.com. Your first appointment is free when you mention KKHI. And I don't think Fry Orthodontics asks when you call, you know, hey, how'd you hear about us? They may. I don't know that they do. Let them know, please. Let them know you heard about it right here on Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Or if you're already in treatment, already going there, remind them and let them know. You'd be doing us a favor. 13 locations. Get a great smile for life. Improve your confidence going forward with that perfect smile. They can do Invisalign, which is non-invasive. It's a little bit easier, and the price is the same as braces. FryOrthodontics.com. There's a location near you. Your smile is just the start. Okay, on to, well, we'll start with college basketball. This is a fun story that's not, it's not related to the tournament, but I am passionate about this story. Passionate. When I first heard that former Missouri coach Mike Anderson had been fired by St. John's and he had filed a lawsuit already against the university for wrongful termination, I had bad thoughts going on in my head. I was like, oh, brother. Okay. What's this all about? And I didn't say anything about it. Didn't mention it on the podcast, but was curious. Wanted to read it, see if it was something that fit here. And I want to give my full-throated 100% endorsement behind Mike Anderson in this lawsuit against St. John's. They fired him for cause, which saves them $11 million. If they just want to fire him and hire a new coach, they owe him $11 million. They fired him for cause. They have said that he did not foster an environment with his players to reach academic standards. He poorly supervised his assistants and, quote, I'm sorry, did not, quote, reflect positively, unquote, on the university. And that's the big one. He did not reflect positively on the university. Because if the players weren't passing classes, they didn't get to play. So that really wasn't the school's problem. That was a coach's problem. I don't know any stories of supervising assistants, what that's all about. There's little detail. It's pretty clear their main beef here, their big argument with Mike Anderson is he didn't just, quote, reflect positively, end quote, on the university. I would even listen to that story if they wanted to make that public. I'd listen to anything they had if there was no $11 million owed. I'd listen to a lot from St. John's University, but I will not listen to St. John's University say Mike Anderson reflected poorly on the university, and 48 hours later, they hire Rick freaking Pitino, which is what they did. That was not firing a coach for cause in any way. That was, we can get Pitino. Mike Anderson, you're out. They have every right to do this. There's no, I don't think there's a racial claim here from Mike Anderson. I've not seen that. And I don't think that's coming, and I don't think it belongs here. The school has every right to fire their basketball coach. He was not that successful there. And replace him with Rick Pitino. When you do that, you don't save $11 million by saying the other coach reflected poorly on your university. Nobody in college basketball today has ever reflected more poorly on the schools where he's coached than Rick freaking Pitino. This guy is a cheater. He's a scoundrel. He had sex on a table in a restaurant with a waitress and got caught, and it was on video, and he's a scumbag, and he's a slimeball, and he is the worst. And yes, he can coach basketball. He is a pig of a human being. P-I-G, he's a pig. He's gross. He's disgusting and despicable on every single possible level. He had basically been banished from the sport, crawled his way back through the slime to Iona, which is in Westchester County in New York City. It's where all the rich people live. A little private school. He goes to Iona, and they win some games. And now all of a sudden, since he was there for a couple of years, he can be hired again. We're going to forget about all the scum in this man's life. Not just basketball coach, his life. He's a dirtbag. He's gross. He's gross. And St. John's wants to save Mike Anderson money because he reflected poorly on their school. And then they hire Rick Pitino? No chance, folks. This is awful by St. John's. Pay the money. Pay the money. Pay it now. Don't drag this thing through court. You're going to have, you got away with hiring Rick Pitino. Most people don't care about St. John's. In New York, they care even less that he's a scumbag. Most people around the country won't pay attention unless he makes them really good, and he's headed off to the Final Four, and then people say, he's a cheat, he's a scoundrel, he's got all this. Then they will. But right now, they really don't care. I really don't care. Until you keep $11 million from Mike Anderson. It isn't right. You sign the man to a contract. You owe him $11 million. You hired somebody who is a 25 times scummier scumbag than Mike Anderson ever thought about being in a profession that's filled with scumbags. Wow, St. John's. Absolutely brutal. All right, we'll talk a little baseball here in just a moment. Brought to you by MyPillow.com. You want to support Mike Lindell and the great work that he does in the United States, great conservative that he is. We'd appreciate it if when you bought something at MyPillow.com, whether it's a mattress topper, sheets, or the new MyPillow 2.0, that you use the promo code KKHI. It's very simple at checkout. It gives you the biggest possible discount. There are no larger discounts anywhere. Anything you see anywhere else, KKHI is at least that big of a discount, and it clicks in automatically when you check out at MyPillow.com/KKHI or MyStore.com/KKHI is your promo code. MyStore.com/KKHI. Call 800-923-9034. Again, that's 800-923-9034 for the incredible MyPillow 2.0. I love it so much, I got a pair of them. The second one I'm using on the sofa at night when I'm laying around watching basketball. I pulled one out of the bedroom and onto the sofa. I got double my pillows going. 2.0, baby. Love that. They also have an insanely low price on slippers right now, house slippers and such. They got to get rid of them. Overstock, just go on there. You'll see them. They're like big red tag bonuses. MyPillow.com, KKHI. Roberts Robinson is online at robertsrobinson.com. They're located in Excelsior Springs. They sell Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. They're the home of the lifetime warranty. Almost all dealerships don't offer a free lifetime warranty. Roberts Robinson always does. Pretty good little treat right there. You want more information on how to build or order your specific vehicle that you're looking for? Any GM product, call Tim Trader, 816-826-1563. Shop online, deliver at home, build your own. RobertsRobinson.com. And my friends over at 360 Document Solutions are just awesome. They'd love to work with your business and help you be a little more productive and a little more profitable. 360documentsolutions.com is located right here in Kansas City, but they have offices all over the state and people all over the state of Kansas and Missouri. So doesn't matter where your business is, you can be hours away from KC. 360 Document Solutions will work with you. Call 913-745-5344 and find out what they can do for you with better copiers, printers, IT solutions, mail systems, phone systems that'll save you money and make you more productive. 360documentsolutions.com. Love those guys. All right, the Royals starting rotation is taking shape, and it is a little bit surprising. You've heard a lot of these names in the past that they've drafted. Lynch, Bubich, Coar. You've heard the names, and we've been waiting for them to all be a big stud part of this thing. Well, how about this? Here's your four in the rotation right now. Here's the Royals four that are in, apparently, as of today. They're looking for a fifth. Zach Greinke, which I do not like the idea of him starting opening day. I think it's Brady Singer's job now. I think it's time to turn this thing over. I think Brady Singer should start opening day. I just think he should. It's his time. I think he has the best stuff. I think he's the best starter. And I think he's earned it, and I think he should be there, and you shouldn't just start opening day because you're the old guy. So Greinke, it looks like he's not been named the starter, but it looks like he'll start opening day. Brady Singer will be two. Brad Keller and Jordan Lyles are three and four in some order. Brad Keller has developed a breaking ball that is ridiculously impressive. It's a curveball that they've worked on. He's perfected it. His strikeouts are through the roof. And he's not walking people. Brad Keller has looked like at times that he's just going to be a stud, and it's never really completely come together for him. Is this the year? This group of Royals coaches thinks so. Jordan Lyles was signed to a 2-year deal. He's a veteran, and he's the fourth starter. That probably means Daniel Lynch is the fifth starter, but it could be Bubich. The back end of the bullpen to me is very interesting. The Royals have stockpiled. We've talked about the heavy arms they got. Flamethrowers. And they've not announced roles here, but we've got the makings of the three-headed monster that used to be here. Barlow, Staumont, and Chapman are all flamethrowers. Chapman's a multi-year all-star. Barlow's been good. Staumont at throws 100 miles an hour. You know what these guys have. How about that for a back end? Try to win a game. You're up 4-2 going to the seventh. I think there could be a lot of nights that a combination of two or three of these guys goes out and doesn't allow a base runner. That's exciting. Again, the Royals will go as far as their starting pitching will take them. That's it. The lineup, yes, they've got questions. They got injury in the outfield. They're not. They've got some positions on the field where they're not great. Doesn't matter. I think they'll hit enough. They've certainly hit in spring training. They'll hit enough. They'll have enough games where they score enough. If the Royals pitch, where the Royals have really, really, really been bad, is they can't pitch, and mostly they can't starting pitch, which mostly means most nights they're behind. That's a terrible thing to do. You have Patrick Mahomes on your football team, you fall behind, you don't care. You have Brad Keller on the hill, and you're down 4-1 in the third, you're in for a long night. Totally different sports. Completely different sets of circumstances. Starting pitching is very important. I'll be curious to see if there aren't some nights where they put a reliever in for the first or second inning or both, and then go with one of their starters. That'll be really, really interesting. But I it does look like they got a plan. We can see what they've done here. Cuatrero, the new manager, says it's just gone great. He's very happy with his team, and he thinks they've made some changes with what some of these pitchers are doing that's making a difference. Of course they believe that. I like that. 1 week from Thursday is opening day. I'm sure my buddy John Hutchins from Amazing Garage Floors will be there. I don't know a bigger baseball fan than Hutch. I know a lot. Mike Robinson over at Roberts Robinson, he's a big baseball fan. Jeremy Fry's a big baseball fan. A lot of our sponsors are big Royals and baseball fans. I don't know anybody like Hutch over Amazing Garage Doors. Pretty sure he'll be out there on opening day. It is a week from Thursday. I was watching baseball on Monday night. It was traumatic. Now, I didn't watch the whole game. I switched over maybe about 9 o'clock last night and was watching Japan against Mexico, and Mexico had a 5-3 lead, and then Japan got a run in the eighth. And you're like, oh, boy, this is so important in Japan and Mexico and these other countries. This World Baseball Classic, it's not very important in the U.S. It's really important in these other countries. And it really, really, really matters in Japan. And they come up in the ninth, and they're down one, and Shohei Ohtani's leading off, and he doubles. And then the four-hitter, who's a 29-year-old stud from Japan, who just signed with, I think they said, the Red Sox. He's going to play for the Red Sox this year. Their cleanup hitter was already 3-for-4 in the game. They basically just walked him. Well, that was a mistake. Nibbling and walking around the guy put the winning run on base. The five-hitter comes up. He's the next big thing. He's 22 years old. He's going to be like the biggest star in Japan. They don't let them come to the U.S. until they play so many years in Japan. So they can't come here usually until they're like 28 or 29, right? So this dude comes up, and he's 0-for-4, and they're like, this is the only time in his life he's ever struggled at the plate. They're literally saying this. The World Baseball Classic is the only time in this man's life where he's ever struggled at any level. And he's 0-for-4 tonight with 3 strikeouts. That he's a phenom. He's a freak. This is the dude, man. This is the guy. He is the next big thing from Japan. Crack of the bat. Bomb shot to center field. Off the wall. A pinch runner. Oh, my God. He looked like Gerard Dyson out there running around. That had pinch run on first base. And Japan wins it in a walk-off fashion, and they go crazy. And people in Japan went crazy. Japan plays the United States on Tuesday night. It's worth a watch, folks. This is worth a watch. It's for the championship of the World Baseball Classic. It's in Miami, where they got all this chaos going on, but it's been pretty fun watching all this take place in Miami, and the United States plays Japan tonight, winner take all, right? Tuesday night, here we go. U.S. versus Japan in the World Baseball Classic. The Seattle Mariners are having fun in spring training. I love this story. In Peoria, Arizona, where the Royals play a lot. This is not very far from where the Royals... Okay, Peoria, Arizona is on Bell Road, about 6 to 8 miles east of Surprise Stadium, where the Royals are, on Bell Road. Bell Road in Phoenix goes from east to west. Oh my gosh, it's got to be 30, 40 miles long. One end, more than that. It runs one end to the other. It's not really a highway, but everybody knows where Bell Road... Bell Road is Bell Road in Phoenix. It's Bell Road. So Seattle trains right there with the Padres, and the Royals train 6 miles away on the same street with the Rangers. And the Royals modeled their complex after what the Mariners and the Padres have there. What they have in Peoria, 6 miles down the road, is just a little more stuff around their ballpark. There's a like a Texas Roadhouse right there across the street. There's a couple nicer restaurants. There's movie theaters, a shopping mall, a couple car dealerships. It's lined up with all kinds of commercial stuff. I think there's a Target right there. There's just all kinds of stuff there, right where the stadium is. And the busiest corner where you turn in to go to a game in Peoria, Arizona, is where In-N-Out Burger is. It is literally walking distance from the ballpark, but it's a decent walk. You don't have to go out on the street. You can basically walk through parking lots. Well, yesterday, about 20 Seattle Mariners players, 45 minutes before first pitch of their game, decided they were hungry, and they got in these giant people-moving golf carts, you know, like they have in a parking lot where the old folks park out there, and we got to shuttle them into the stadium. You could put maybe 12 people in one of these things. Well, there was two of them. So it looks like there are maybe 20 of these players. I don't know how many players were. Let's say there's 20 players. And they're on these two giant people mover golf cart things. And they leave their clubhouse and they drive to the drive-through of In-N-Out Burger. And they take a couple of their buddies in the media with them to video it. And Seattle's got their own media, obviously the Mariners. And a dude walks out, I don't know which player it was. He pulls up at the drive-through and says, we'll have 160 double-doubles and 60 orders of fries. This is great. This generation of ball player is so much better than when I covered Major League Baseball on a daily basis. It's because they're growing up with social media and cell phones and they interact and they're just socially better adjusted. Baseball used to be the worst sport to cover. They were entitled. They had guaranteed contracts. They were dug in and empowered by their union. They hated their owner. They made this demand, that demand. They hated the media. They were mean. Bo Jackson was mean. Mike Boddicker is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Right now, when he was a player, he was an absolute dick. He couldn't have been a bigger jerk. George Brett was an a-hole as a player to people in the media and people around. He had good days and bad days. George Brett's one of those guys that's good and bad. When he's on, there's nothing like him. When he's down, get out of the way. But these players today, they're engaged, man. They understand promoting things. They love putting things on social media. About 20 players got in buggies and went to In-N-Out Burger before their game and dialed up a bunch of double-doubles and put it all over social media. It's fun. It's fun. It's cool. The fans can relate. They're humanizing these guys, and they're not, they just do not appear to be as arrogant and dickish as they used to be. And I love this generation of baseball player. I love it. I think it's cool. Very, very cool. All right, that's it for this episode of KKHI. Thank you so much for listening and telling your friends about it, having them hit that like, follow, or subscribe button. Spread the word that we're here every single day with a podcast up. Mid-morning. I call it mid-morning because I get up early, but for some people, I got a couple of friends that are like, man, you put that thing up really early. I said, well, yeah, it's up by like 9:15 or 9:30. That's not really early. We're just ready to go every day, man. We're here for you, protecting the Constitution, covering the sports and the teams that we love, and generally doing it with a smile on our face. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.